This conference will...
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, could you just review a little bit what you said about putting a purchase, this is Jackie, by the way, on a Mexico number and shipping to you to qualify that number? What did you say? Sorry, I missed that.
Manitech allows you to order, so I could order products and ship it to England, or I could order products and ship it to Mexico. They won't ship out of the United States. They'll ship from the Mexico warehouse. So you can only get the products that are located in that country.
Okay, but it doesn't show that on the website when you go to do that. It just shows Mexico that it has to ship within Mexico.
Yeah, it has to. Well, what are you trying to do?
Buy on a Mexico number and ship to a U.S. number.
You absolutely can do that. So I would just, let me contact, is this Jackie Boulevard?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Jackie. Oh, by the way, I had a blast with your people. I had some guy that latched onto me for like 3 days in Monterrey who was...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's on fire. He talked to me 100 times. He did high fives. He celebrated with me in the closing party. Everybody thought he was in my downline. I said, "Are you kidding? This is Jackie Boulevard's person." Yeah. it was great. No, it was blast.
Do you remember his name?
I don't even remember his name. He's under your gal in Saltillo, though, Claudia. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got them all under her.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good job. Okay, so you want to buy in a Mexico account and ship to United States or Canada? Ship
to US Canada.
Okay, all right. Let me give you an answer. I'll send you an email on it. I'll outline it for you. Okay.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You bet.
Awesome.
Okay. You bet. All right. So let's kick off. Let's talk about the book, The Magic of Thinking Big. I know you have two names of books in the outline. Lydia kind of blipped there when she put Magic of Believing, because there's a book called that too. But we're talking about The Magic of Thinking Big. And the first thing I want everybody to do before we jump into the call, this is a lot of material to cover now in 35 minutes, but I'm going to get through it. I want you to all get a highlighter. All right? That's the most important thing. Get a highlighter, because this call is going to impact you very differently than anyone else. Because we all have different things that we need to work on in our lives. And I think what's going to help you the most is if you have a highlighter in your hand. And every time Mary Jo says something, you go, wow, ouch, or ooh, that's about me, or ooh, you know. When you start feeling a little twinge, that's when I want you to highlight that piece of the outline. Because that's going to make this call most impactful to you, okay? So everybody got that down? Everybody got a highlighter in their hand and the outline. And let's dig in and tackle this incredible book that can change your life. But, of course, someone's got to take action for that to happen, right? And that someone is Y-O-U. All right? So the first, we're going chapter by chapter. First chapter just talked, believe you can succeed and you will. And, you know, it's kind of like that. I think about that statement somebody put at the bottom of an email. She said, believe you can or believe you can't, you're always going to be right. A great quote. Believe you can or you believe you can't. You're always going to be right. So now you could write that down too. It's not in the outline, but that's what I think of when I think about believe you can succeed and you will, because your belief system plays such a huge role. And what's another book that has this as the underlying theme or underlying conclusion? Napoleon Hill's book, right? On Think and Grow Rich, when he was commissioned by the Carnegies to go out and study what makes a person wealthy, what makes a person successful. And he spent 20-some years interviewing hundreds of people, and he concluded it had nothing to do with intelligence, background, wealth, to start with, whatever, none. It had all to do with one thing. They totally believed they were going to succeed no matter what. So that's Napoleon Hill. So this is not a new thought. When we define the word success, and he had a lot of things written down, freedom from worries, fears, frustrations, winning, achievement. Everyone wants the best this life can deliver. No one wants to or enjoys living in mediocrity. This is kind of what he wrote out when he was talking about a success. And he says, that's where everybody wants success. No one wants to be unsuccessful or a failure. He said, you know, the importance of faith can move mountains, and we know that's scriptural as well. When you believe I can do it, then how to do it immediately arises. So once you get the belief, so if you sit there and you look at the incentive and you go, well, I don't know if I can do it, you're never going to get the how-tos. Because you're never attracting that energy towards the next step because you never started with the first step. First step is belief that you're going to win. And then the how-tos fall in place. The Magic of Believing is a great book out there, too, that establishes this. Believe in success is the one basic, absolutely essential ingredient of successful people. Again, back to Napoleon Hill, right? So when you go the opposite direction, disbelief or doubt is a very negative power in your life. And it actually, why? Because the law of attraction. When we come from doubt and disbelief, like some of you have had your problems around Manatech in the last couple of years since the Texas AG, you started, you know, some doubts triggered into your mind and into your heart. And I'm going to tell you that's exactly what you projected because the law of attraction works exactly that way, right? We attract who we are. So if you're coming from negative and doubt and disbelief, you're going to attract that kind of personality and those kind of people in your way. So you want to acknowledge that. That's a crucial issue. So you might want to circle that one or highlight that one because it's really important to look at your life and how this is playing out in your life. So he gives us an exercise that you can do. You examine the five most successful people you know. Okay, so this is an exercise you can choose or choose not to do. Then see how you are different from them. And the most important thing is that you've got to understand that other people aren't going to value you until you value you. So in the book, they had this guy go through this exercise, and he came out, and he says, well, I have this. This guy doesn't have this. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have this. But look at how successful he is. And all of a sudden, that helped him start believing in himself because he had all these things. And there are a lot of successful people in this world that you know, you have, you know, much more integrity or much more whatever than they do. And that's what you want to do is start looking at that. And that should help you start focusing on your belief in yourself and the ability that you have that you're not showing up today. Are you living life too small? Our mind is a thought factory. We have Mr. Triumph and Mr. Defeat going on all the time. Any of you ever notice that? That's that flip-flopping. That's that, like, you feel victory and then all of a sudden, boom. Something happens. It's almost like bipolar or something. Your goal should be that you shoot for 100% Mr. Triumph. When Mr. Defeat starts crawling into that brain, you squash it like a bug. Squash it like a bug. And some of you go, well, I don't know how to do that. I can't control it. It just comes in and starts. I said, go take a run. And you go, oh, but I don't like to exercise. Well, there's probably more defeatism in you. I don't like to exercise. Well, there are a lot of people that maybe don't like to exercise, but they understand it's essential for their health. So maybe they go out and find something inside them that says, I'm going to do what it takes to be successful. And that means I learn how to do things that maybe I don't like to do, but I know are good for me. All right? So, you know, if you go out for a run, there's ways of defeating Mr. Defeat, and you've got to conquer Mr. Defeat, or he's going to eat you alive. So we focus on Mr. Triumph. And how do you develop the power of belief? Number one, he just gives you three ideas. Number one, think success all the time. Don't ever let power defeat. Don't ever have discouragement into your life. Always go back. Turn discouragement into success. Remind yourself regularly that you're better than you think you are because that's the number one thing that typically destroys us is self-depreciation, deprecation. And then three, believe big. Quit thinking small. When you think small, you'll be small. So think big. Think big. You know, sometimes it almost seems that way. I remember when I saw that at the Clemmer event, the $1 million check, I was like, oh my gosh, it just blew me away. But I never disbelieved it because I believed God put it in my life. So disbelieving it was disbelieving him. So I just knew someday that was going to happen to me. I didn't know when, and you know, sure enough, 2.5 years later, boom, there's $1 million check in my hand. And that's what allowed me to set up my foundation. But it was believing big. It was believing big. And when you believe big, big things will happen to you. All right, so that's number one. Number two, cure yourself of excusitis. Every person with mediocre success has at least a mild case of this disease. I thought that was great. Excusitis. Look at yourself and listen to words you say. Listen to why things don't happen the way you want them to happen and see who you're blaming it on. What are you blaming it on? What is your outside factors? See, people who are successful never have excuses. There aren't excuses. I mean, when I first started learning this 8-10 years ago, I started looking at my languaging, and boy, I worked very hard cleaning up every ounce of it out of my life. Does it creep in sometimes? Sometimes when you get tired, things creep back into your life, bad habits from the past, but boy, oh boy, nothing. You know, if something happens or doesn't happen, it's up to me. I need to be a part of that. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not circumstances. It didn't snow. My car didn't get in the shop. I chose not to do it. Something happened. Let's say I was supposed to be at a meeting. My car got a flat tire. You know what? I chose not to be there. Why? Because I have 101 solutions with a car with a flat tire. I could hitchhike. I could call a friend. I could walk there. I could take a taxi. Right? But I chose not to be there. So don't be victim. Don't be victim to what's happening around you. It's all excuses we make up. We love to use excuses why we didn't get to a certain level, especially people who are unsuccessful. They have 101 excuses why they're not successful. And he calls it a disease. I think it is a disease. I call it a brain disease. It eats away and causes deterioration of the brain function. So it's a lose-lose proposition. You lose because you're negative, and you lose because you're losing brain function. So let's stay away from victim excusitis, right? I love it. Step one, vaccinate yourself against this disease of failure. And the four most common forms of excusitis, he wrote out, but my health isn't good. And Dr. Schindler wrote a book called How to Live 365 Days a Year. It was really good. I read about it in the book, and it talks about how 3 out of 4 hospital beds are occupied by people who have ELL, or EII. It's called emotionally induced illness. 3 out of 4 people are sick right now would be well if they learned how to handle their emotions. Wow. Pretty incredible, isn't it? What does that tell you about stress and what our emotional state does to our physical nature? So it's about really resolving that you're going to live until you die. So you don't want to say, but my health isn't good, and use that as an excuse. My health isn't good. Use to talk about it. My sister ended up divorced because she got so caught up in her life about her health. She was like a walking, talking health machine. And it was so negative about this being wrong, and I can't do this, and I can't do this, and the doctors are this, and I can't do that. I mean, I didn't even like talking to her. No wonder her husband walked out. I mean, you're just pouring out negative. You're creating negative. If you have a health issue, you know what? Have a prayer group. Have some people praying for you. But you know what? Move forward. Bust through it. Make it happen. So excusitis. And he says, remind yourself often. It's better to wear out than to rust out. Next, here's another excusitis. But you have to have brains to succeed. That's totally false. In fact, your attitudes are more important than your intelligence. Did you know that? People with good attitudes get further. They said, with a positive, optimistic, and cooperative attitude, a person with an IQ of 100 will earn more money, win more respect, and achieve more success than a negative, pessimistic, uncooperative individual with an IQ of 120. Incredible. Not about intelligence. A lot of it has to do with stickability, stick-to-itiveness, perseverance, 95% of ability. That comes right out of his book. So are you persevering? Or do we give up? So don't ever let intelligence get in your way as an excuse. It's no use, I'm too old. Unbelievable. I heard this the other day from a gal who was like 29 years old. I could hardly believe, I almost fell out of my chair. I almost totally fell out. I mean, 29, I'm too old. Can you imagine? Look at we're feeding people to believe this. This is truly a disaster in our society. I'm too old. How ridiculous. I'm sitting at 56 today, and I'm not too old to do anything. I mean, I may not win Miss America contest, but of course I'm not interested. I may never make it as, a member of the Green Bay Packers. By the way, they're playing in the Super Bowl, if you didn't see that. That's Mary Jo's team, so I really would like it if you'd support me in that. Even you guys from Pennsylvania. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, but I mean, there's certain things I'm not going to be because I'm not, I'm not in that stage of my life that's even a possibility. But there's plenty of possibilities out there for me. They're all over the place. In fact, there's millions. And I'm going to do as much as I can do as long as God's given me what I have. I'm going to make it work. So it's not about age. It has nothing to do with age. It has to do with your brain. What limitations are you putting on yourself today because you say, I'm too old? Think about it. And then another one that comes out a lot is, but my case is different, I attract bad luck. Well, for those of us as Christians, we're not really big into luck. We don't believe in coincidences, right? Everything happens for a reason. Well, that's exactly how this guy believes, but he puts it in a different phraseology. He says cause and effect. No such thing as an accident. Everything has a cause, everything has effect. So start accepting the law as a cause and effect. So good luck is really a result of preparation, planning, and success producing thinking, not luck. So he says, in the book he says, don't be a wishful thinker. Don't sit there and just say, oh, I hope I win the lottery. I hope I do this. I hope I do that. Quit wasting time thinking of ways to win success and concentrate on developing the qualities in yourself that will make you a winner. Anyone highlighting that? Okay, get that highlighter out. Okay. The third chapter, build confidence and avoid fear. Absolutely. Confidence is critical in this world. Because why? Law of attraction. You have no confidence, you're going to attract people around you that are wimpy and have no confidence. So the importance is to develop self-confidence. And in order to have confidence, you have to stay away from fear. Because if you have fear, you're not going to be confident, right? Fear is kind of a contradiction to confidence. So in order to overcome fear, you have to take action. In fact, it's like Susan Jeffers' book. I've given you that so many times. It says, feel the fear and do it anyway. Exactly what she's saying in her book. She's saying take action. Action is what helps you overcome fear. So if you have fear, take action and direction. Indecision, postponement just nurtures fear. So you want to make an incredible effort in your life too to put positive thoughts in your memory bank, not negative thoughts, positive thoughts. And you only withdraw positive thoughts from your memory bank. And that helps you avoid fear. Because the negative thoughts start causing you to question things. Positive thoughts will cause you to go move forward and take action. You also want to put people in proper perspective. A lot of times when you're talking about building confidence, we start looking at people and we start having a lot of prejudgment around people, what they look like, what they act like. In fact, I did a lot of coaching with a person down in Mexico, a Manatec associate, around that. She started talking to me about, well, I went out, Mary Jo, and I saw these ladies at Starbucks, but they were all wearing this, you know, they're kind of dressed up and they're wearing such and such and such. So I wasn't, and I said, stop right there. I mean, see, she wasn't even seeing herself prejudging, but it was just smack there. So quit prejudging people. Get a balanced view. Even when somebody does something silly or dumb or stupid, you know, they could still be an unbelievably wonderful person. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does some silly things. So get a balanced view of people. They're no different than you. So have an understanding attitude towards them. Practice doing what your conscience tells you that is right. In other words, follow that conscience, right? Make everything about you say, I am really confident. Now, how can you take specific actions to develop self-confidence? Here's five ways. Number one, be a front seater. In other words, you go to an event, you sit in the front seat. People of confidence sit in the front seat. I started laughing because I always do that. I love to be smack in the front seat. Number two, make eye contact. If you avoid making eye contact, that's a clear-cut sign of lack of self-confidence. Number three, walk 25% faster. Pick up the pace. People who are confident are going places. When somebody sees somebody walking fast or going someplace, they go, wow, that person's really got an agenda. They're going to get things done. They're a go-getter. They're a doer. That's what you want to do is reflect that. It even's reflected in how fast you walk. Speak up. Don't be timid. Be heard. And you go, wow, I'm afraid I might say something. There you go, fear again. So what if you say something wrong? So what if you make a mistake? It's not the end of the world. You've got to get yourself out there. And then always have that big smile. If there's one thing that was consistently said about Mary Jo in the week in Monterey is people would say, there's that gal, she's always smiling. She's the happiest person I know. And I said, yeah, you want to be what I'm on? And they started laughing. They go, yeah, whatever you're taking, Mary Jo, I'm taking. I said, Jesus. And it was just a lot of fun. They thought I was going to say Amber Toast. So anyway, and so you got to smile big. Keep smiling big. All right, number four, think big. How big we think determines the size of our accomplishments, right? Probably our greatest human weakness, this is where I talked earlier, is self-deprecation, selling oneself short. So what you want to do in regard to that is, here's a great exercise for you guys who have that problem of self-deprecation, thinking less of yourself. Wrong. You'll never go anywhere if you have that attitude. So you want to get over that as fast as possible. Think of your five greatest assets. And if you can't think of them, ask your husband or your wife or your friends or your family members. What are the things that most distinct about me that you, I think, are my greatest assets? And people will give you feedback. You're just asking for feedback. Never be fearful of feedback. It's not necessarily truth. It's feedback. It's what their opinion is of the question you've asked. So get feedback. And then you want to think of five successful people who don't have those assets. So all of a sudden you can start going, huh? Because sometimes we don't think we are self-deprecation occurs because we're comparing ourselves to others. Well, I want you to compare yourself to others from a positive perspective. What do I have that other people don't have? And they're successful, so why can't I be successful? See how that exercise works? We also don't think in words, but rather pictures and images. So you want to build a big image of yourself, right? You want to build that image of yourself. And four ways to develop a big thinker's vocabulary is there. Use big, powerful, cheerful words to describe how you're feeling. People come at you and say, how are you doing today, Mary Jo? And you go, I am feeling great. It's a wonderful day, and I can't wait to see what it's in store for me. Does that sound like a confident person or a not unconfident person, right? Use bright, cheerful, favorable words to describe others. Marla, you look terrific today. What are you doing differently? Wow, it's great. Are you meeting a bunch of people today? I bet you have 20 people you're going to exceed today for Manatech. You know, the great thing. Use positive language to encourage others. Compliment others at every opportunity. Wow, Victor, you are really growing in this business. I can see just in the last couple days how you're getting more and more confident and you're coming across and you have the strength about sharing this Manatech experience with almost anyone you come across with. You know, just compliment people. Go out of your way. Make their day. Use positive words to outline plans to others, too. You don't look down and say, oh, you know what, we have to get this done and we have to do this and this. All that is what? That's victim language. You don't have to do anything. Listen, Sarah, this is a huge opportunity that we're going to work together to do this ISCA. How do you see this working out? What do you say we go out and we talk to like 10 different karate studios in the next week? Is that doable for you? Do you feel that's something we both can do together and support each other, accomplishing? Notice how positive that is. That's some kind of language. So many times when we're leading people, we go, okay, this is what you have to do. You have to make five contacts. You have to do this. You have to, No. Why don't we together as a team, why don't we go after, what do you think, 10? Do you think we can conquer 10? Use positive words to outline plans to others. Be positive. Big thinkers do not see the world as it is, but rather as it can be. That's huge. Don't get stuck in what our reality is here. Always look at what life can be. Price tag the world puts on us matches what we put on ourselves, right? The price tag the world puts on us matches what we put on ourselves. So in other words, if you don't value yourself, no one else is going to value you either. So there's three things. You practice adding value to everything, practice adding value to people, and practice adding value to yourself. And in the book, they give us some ideas on how to add value to ourselves. I've attached some worksheets on the back of the outline to people. I'm not going through them all because it's going to be hard to tackle all of this, because it's quite extensive. But I did want to talk to you a little bit about practicing on valuing yourself, because that's a big issue for a lot of us. People that don't look at themselves as value. Adding value to people, you know, as you move higher and higher in Manatech, your job becomes more and more people development. So you want to always look at, how do I add value to my subordinates? How do I add value to my national executive directors underneath me when I'm presidential? What can I do to help them be more effective? It's always what you want to do. Remember, bring out the best in a person. You must first visualize his best. Visualization comes first and then the reality. And practice adding value to yourself. You want to say every day, what can I do to make myself more valuable today? Every day, start off the day. And I like to do it. I've written up a little note to myself after this reading this book to say, what can I do to be of more value to my husband every day? I want to do something special every day. So that's my, he just got back in town. I went out. I made him banana nut bread. I made him his favorite tuna fish. I got him his milk that he drinks that I never drink. I just went out of my way to make sure when he got back in town, everything was in place for him. Just what can I do to add value every day? It's just a nice thing. So that's what you want to do, and add value to yourself. Add value to others, add value to yourself every day. What can I do to make myself more valuable today? Right? And whenever you get stuck in a petty thing, you just look at it and say, is it important? And move on, because that'll rob you from creating value. Number five, how to think and dream creatively. This is creative thinking isn't about how to build a light bulb. You know, it's not about a discovery and an invention. It's rather simply finding new and improved ways to do anything. And I call it, what will I do different today that will make me better? It's kind of like The Slight Edge. Some of you read that book by Jeff Olson. It's about what can I do today to make it a little bit better. That's creative thinking. So we want to really boost that. So in order to boost it, you got to put it on your outline every day. Some of you need to put that at the top of your to-do list, maybe as an absolute number one on your to-do list every day, so it automatically pops up. What can I do differently today to create some greater things, right? So to help you develop greater power through belief, you can eliminate the word impossible from your vocabulary. It doesn't exist. Anything's possible. And if you believe in Scripture, that's what God tells us. Anything's possible through Him. Think of something you have been wanting to do but felt you couldn't. Make a list of reasons why you can. Isn't that a fun thing to do? Yeah. When people suggest change, don't come from traditional paralysis. Pursue the logic behind it. And he gave us three steps to that. Become receptive to new ideas. In other words, don't shut down when somebody says something that you think is impossible. Remember, the word impossible doesn't exist in your vocabulary, so now you have to be more receptive to ideas people have. Be an experimental person, and be progressive, not regressive. Don't go backwards, go forwards. Big thinkers monopolize listening. Small thinkers monopolize telling. Wow, isn't that a big shift? How many of you need work on listening skills? Good question. Get that highlighter out. Big thinkers monopolize listening. Just because you're a big thinker doesn't mean you talk a lot. And then how can I be better? How can I do more? Practice listening and asking, and don't let good ideas escape. So the whole concept here is about recording things down, right? When I read this chapter, one thing that came through my mind a lot was the idea of Kaizen. He didn't bring it up in the chapter, but Kaizen is that Oriental philosophy about each day you make it a little bit better, right? You just a little bit at a time. It wasn't major overhaul changes. Each day was making a little better. How they introduced that into the factories, and the Japanese went off the charts in their technology and their industry. Chapter 6 was, you are what you think you are. As a man thinketh, so is he. Of course, that comes from me. How you think determines how you act, and how you act determines how you respond, how people respond to you. So it's really critical that you get rid of stinking thinking. So you have to start, look at your Manatech business today. Do you think it's important? If you don't think it's important, it's not going to be important. If you think it's important, you treat it as important. Watch what changes occur in your life. So lift up your Manatech business. Lift it up. Raise it up in your viewpoint. Start giving it value. Reintroduce that in your life for some of you who have lost that concept. You want to really look at that. My Manatech business is critical for me. It's terrific. Very important, right? And it talks about you are what you think you are. Also, when you look at yourself, how do I build up myself, right? And he says you build a commercial. Take all your best qualities, build a commercial, and practice your commercial out loud every day. Terrific. And I've attached a checklist for you to use, too, that you can look on the back of it to help support you in this. So take a look at that, and if that's an issue for you about who you think you are, that you need some work in that area, take that checklist and work through that. Number 7, manage your environment. This is classic. This comes... kind of, some of you remember the book I used to promote a lot called How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM. Some of you remember that? Anyway, it's written by John K. Lynch, and he's in there, you can't fly with the eagles when you're playing with the turkeys. And that's exactly the same thing. It's about your environment. Who are you surrounding yourself with? The mind is the most delicate, most sensitive instrument in all creation. Whatever you feed it, that's what it becomes. That's why I get so frustrated when I ride in the car with my husband and he plays radio talk show, sports radio talk. I mean, it's the biggest bunch of garbage you've ever heard on the face of the earth. It's all garbage. I'm a sports enthusiast, and it bothers me no end because it's all garbage. None of it is accurate. It's just talk for the sake of talk. And I try to I try to teach my husband this, but he won't listen. So he's 62 and he doesn't want to listen anymore, and I just do the best I can. But for me, not happening. I'm not feeding garbage into my brain. Not going to happen. I'll read a book, I'll do something. I'm not going to feed garbage in my brain because I know that the mind is like a sponge. And if it's garbage in, it's going to be garbage out. So you want to make sure that you feed your mind great stuff. So it's who you associate with, what you listen to, what you read, and who you choose as your mentors. You want to make sure you have positive people, people that are full of joy and are ready to just spawn tremendous success and are successful themselves. That's who you want to surround yourself with. So recondition yourself for success. There's a whole number of statements on here, and I gave you a list on the back that's about never be a gossiper. See the attached test that I've attached on the end too about never being a gossiper, because we don't want people. It's horrible. It's all negative. I hate gossip, and in a church environment, it's even worse because people go, "Oh, did you hear about so and so and so and so? She wants us to pray about it." They love to gossip under the auspices that we're trying to tell people. You could say a silent prayer request for God knows what's going on, so you don't have to make it gossip. So 8, make your attitude your allies. This is one of Jet's favorite, and there are other people out there. I think his mentor that he had, Al Schrider, was one that also said attitude is everything. I don't believe that, but I think it's a lot. I think attitude is a tremendous piece of the puzzle, and you have to have a good attitude because attitudes really reflect what's going on in your mind. So if you have a bad attitude, then you got some bad thoughts in your mind. So you want your attitudes are crucial, and your attitudes are read by other people. I guarantee you, when I was down in Mexico for 5 days, when everybody's telling me I'm the happiest person they ever met, how do I have so much joy, I have so much energy, I do this, and on and on and on. It starts with what? It starts with my attitude. I was excited about what was happening. I'm excited about everybody in Manitec being successful in Mexico. So it was exhilarating for me to help Jackie Bullivant's person sign up. I even sat down and I made the phone call with him to Manitec to get him registered. Because it wasn't about Mary Jo. It was at that moment I didn't have any of my group there. And I will give all my time to people in Manitec because what a joy it is to watch their fire inside of them light up. And he even started sharing with me. He said, Mary Jo, I shared with my next door neighbor and I was really excited about what he was doing. I talked about what he shared and how he did it and it's great and super, and I said, see, you're already out there. You're doing it. And it was exciting to watch that happen. So you want to definitely surround yourself with those. Have an attitude. Take on an attitude of enthusiasm and an attitude of greatness, whether it's your people or not, because it's contagious. And enthusiasm truly makes everything 100% better. So he gave us ideas on how to develop enthusiasm. Oh, by the way, he said three attitudes most important. I'm activated. In other words, I'm an action. I'm a doer. The second attitude you want to grow is you are important. That doesn't mean you. It means other people are important. When you start looking at other people, you make them important. And three was service first. Money will always follow, but give people more than they expect. So service, service, service. He gave us enthusiasm, how to develop enthusiasm. You can read through that. Again, we don't have a lot of time. The you are important grows when you practice appreciation, practice calling people by their names, and you don't hog glory. Very critical. Practice appreciation, practice by calling people by their names, and don't hog glory. Three critical ways to grow that you are important part. Not you on the phone with me, but when you look at other people, they are important, right? So great, great, great. And in here we talked about in everything you do, life it up. I thought it meant live it up. Life it up just means bring in a lot of energy and live through it. Okay, 9 is think right toward people. Think right toward people. Intriguing concept. In Manitec, you depend on your downline to achieve your success, but what must you do to get these people to support you and accept your leadership? You must think right about them. In other words, you want to be positive about who they are. So President Johnson, he gave his 10 steps to success here, and you can read through those. They're terrific. Like between remembering names and cultivating quality being interesting so people enjoy being around you. I mean, a lot of these, I highlighted some of these things because I think there's a couple of them I need to work on. But, that's why you want to use the highlighter here, people. What is missing in your life? These are all a bunch of missing links that when you start adding in and you start pulling that, you know, being that better person, lifting yourself up to be a better, you know, big thinker, you're going to create different results in your life. So, and you don't want to ever buy friendship. You're going to create contempt when you buy friendship, so be careful on that. He highlighted that fact because people do that. I learned the lesson of, I've never met a stranger. I've just met somebody, a friend that I haven't gotten to know yet. That's approaching people that way is a wonderful way because every single person you see, you no longer look at them as a stranger, but they're a friend you haven't met yet. And you approach them very differently. So just put that in your psychology, and it'll help you talk to lots more people. And the other thing that I learned relatively late in life was the fact that everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what their walk is, no matter where they're coming from, they have something to offer me in a big way because they've lived different lives than I have. So they have different experiences, thus they have different knowledge. And I can never live their life, but I can sure learn about their knowledge if I just open up and listen to them. So... okay, always stay tuned to channel P, positive, not N, negative. Positive, not negative. Number 10, get the action habit down. That means, again, be a doer. You know, whether somebody's going to do the job or be a self, all these issues are all about, is he a man of action? Everything boils down to, are you a man of action? Are you a person of action? And you want to make sure that what stops us from taking action most of the time, fear. So you got to conquer fear. And we talked about that earlier, but you got to be out there taking action. And so a few points he made is be in the mode of taking action all the time. Be a doer. Don't wait until the conditions are perfect because why? Because they never are. It's like the whole thing we hear in network marketing. We say don't wait for your boat to dock because it's never going to get there. So you can wait forever, be a procrastinator, but, don't let it happen. I'm going to wait until this does before I start working on this. Wrong. Get to work. Start planning. Get out there and do it. Remember, ideas bring you nothing without action. Think in terms of now, right now. What can I do right now to make my life better? What can I do right now to win the incentive trip? What can I do right now to build my business in Mexico? Seize the initiative. Be a crusader. 11, how to turn defeat into victory. We have to look at little defeats in your life. Does everybody have a defeat? Absolutely. Each one of us has defeats in our life. So you want to convert those into victories. So you study your setbacks to learn from them, and then you move forward. You don't beat up on yourself. You don't carry them. You don't bring up your past and negatives in your past. That's all past. You can't do anything about your past. But you learn from it so you don't recreate it in the future. That's the greatest thing you have to remember. And stop blaming luck. Say, I have bad luck. Oh, come on. When people say that, I just have bad luck. My whole body just cringes. It's just like, oh. If that's in your vocabulary, I want you to highlight that because get rid of it. No such thing is that you have bad luck. No such animal. Get rid of it, destroy it. But if you believe it, what? Do you believe you can or you believe you can't? You're always going to be right. So if you believe you have bad luck, you're going to create it because your belief system is so strong. But there's no such thing as bad luck. So why do you believe in something that doesn't exist? How's that? Okay, number 12, use goals to help you grow. I really don't have to go much into this because I'm a goal fanatic, so you guys have all been through my goal training. But he's crystal clear one more time in yet another book telling us nothing happens until you plop it on the goal. So you've got to have your goals. You've got to write them down. He has a two-step process here. He says, number one, outline your life in three segments and visualize your future in each one of them, work, home, and social. And then the second step is demand of yourself answers to these questions. A great exercise. I recommend you all do it. I actually attached a planning guide to the outline, so you can look at your planning guide there. It's great for you. And then he also told us the five weapons. I got about five more minutes, people, if you can hang on with me. He also gave us the five weapons used to commit success suicide. So what you want to do with those, you want to kill them off. You want to destroy them. What are the five weapons are there used to commit success suicide? Self-depreciation or deprecation, right? Putting yourself down, selling yourself short, enough already done, never happening again. Never happening again for you. Determine that today and move forward. Security-itis. This is great. Well, Mary Jo, I really have security in this job. Great. So you're going to use the security in your life in your current job that you really don't like to murder your dreams. And on your tombstone, we'll put, she had security. And then we'll put a little barf bag right next to the tombstone for those of us like Mary Jo that'll walk by and say, and what she could have been never happened. The contribution she was meant to make never happened because she got caught up in security-itis, right? Competition, the field's already crowded. Are you kidding me? Some people said that, oh, my gosh, there's so many network marketing companies in Mexico. How is Manatech going to make it? Wrong. Parental dictation, this is more like about young kids who feel like their parents are in control of their lives. You know, when they're 19, 20, well, my dad wants me to be a lawyer, so I have to. You don't have to do anything. You are responsible for your life. So choose into it and don't let other people choose for you because then all you'll do is become a big victim to the choices they make. You'll have an excuse, so now you'll get into excuse-itis of why you failed because you chose not to do what you really wanted to do. And then family responsibility. This happens a lot in Manatech. But Mary Jo, I have a family and I have to take care of them and I can't afford to, you know, run this risk. I go, great. So stay in your security-itis. And really don't take care of your family because you could have provided for them 10 times what you're really providing for them. Oh, another way of looking at it. I've attached a 30-day improvement guide. I'm actually going to do this as well. So grab onto it. It's kind of a cool thing. What are you going to do in the next 30 days in improvement? I've just given you a great improvement guide that you can use. It goes from A through E. And the last one is sharpen your mind, and I thought of sharpening the saw. You know, Stephen Covey, for those of you who have read Seven Habits, it's a great piece of it. And then the last chapter of the book is how to think like a leader. Critical that you think like a leader. Why? Because if you're not, everybody's a leader no matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you're doing in your life today, you're a leader. There's somebody following you, whether it's your children, your wife, your spouse, your husband, your neighbors, your people at church, your Sunday school class, whatever it might be, we all stand in leadership. And people don't pull us to higher levels of success. We're lifted by those working besides us and below us. And success depends on us getting support and cooperation from other people. And that means we need to have what? A greater leadership ability because that's what allows us to get support and cooperation from other people. And he put down 4 special leadership rules or principles to master. And I want you to really focus on these. Trade minds with the people you want to influence. So many people fail at their jobs or fail at what they're doing because they never, what, show empathy. They never put themselves in the other person's shoes. They're out there as an authority figure, and they take advantage of their authority, and it's always their way or hit the highway, and they don't listen. Because in order to have empathy, you've got to first do what? Listen. You've got to understand where those other people are so you can put yourself in their shoes, and then you can start asking, what would I think of this if I change places with the other person? When you start using that as a standard, you're going to show a lot more empathy and you're going to be an unbelievably effective leader. So critical leadership skill. What would I think of this if I exchanged places with the other person? If we thought about that more before we opened our mouth, we'd create a big difference in this world. I have a tendency to do that because I didn't in the past. 10 years ago, crazy. I was a lawyer. I was crazy. I was attack mode. Today, when I do coaching calls with people, I have a tendency to go, well, how do I say this best to allow this person? If I were in their shoes, how would I take it, and how do I say this best, right? 2, think. What is the human way to handle this? The better you treat people, in other words, you want to think that what is the human way to handle this? The better you treat people, the more good things happen to you. So it's like the golden rule, treat others as you would have them treat you, right? It's a golden rule. Let your actions show you put people first. Practice praising people. Terrific. I had an email out this morning. I called one of my people in my organization presidential. Yeah, it's a great thing to do. We ought to do that all the time. Not just once in a while, all the time. Acknowledge people. Praise people. 3, think progress. Believe in progress. Push for progress. 2 things you can do here. Think improvement in everything you do. Think high standards in everything you do. This is not just about Manatech. This is about everything you do in your life. Don't cut corners. It doesn't matter whether it's doing the dishes, Yes, do that last dish. Yes, scrub the sink clean after you're done so it looks great. Do the finishing touch. It takes 1 minute to do that last step, but how many of us shortchange? And when you start shortchanging things like that in your life, trust me, everything starts paying a price because it happens throughout everything in your life. You can't be one way over here and another way somewhere else. So every time you do things, think improvement. How can I do it better, and what is the highest standard? And then start applying that in your life. You're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. So you don't let that infiltrate your life, that you're accepting something less from yourself when you are in charge and you can control that. And number 4, take time out to confer with yourself and develop your supreme thinking power. How many of you really spend quiet time? People like me, I get in a car and that's a lot of quiet time for me because I never turn on the radio. Because I feel 90% of the stuff is out there is so trashy, I don't want to hear about it. So that's my focus point. When I'm in airplanes, I have quiet time. And then I set aside quiet time at nighttime. But it's really important because you got to allow the creativity of that brain to function. You have to allow those creative juices to function to say, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do differently? If you're not spending time with that, you're never going to work out and make the next step. And you go, well, Mary Jo, what if I come up with something? I don't know if it's right or wrong. You're never going to know. Just do it. You got to take action. Remember, big thinkers take action. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't work out because they can look at it, evaluate it, and move on because they don't live in the past. They live in the future. They don't accept things as the way they are. They only look at it as how they could be. And that's the way we need to operate. Okay, people. Whoa. We made it. How many of you have an outline with highlights on it? Nobody. Anyone want to get off mute?
Platinum Mary Jo, this is Platinum Janice.
Hi, Platinum Janice. How are you?
I'm just wanting to tell you thank you again. This was outstanding, and I have highlighted all over. I will be reviewing
right.
it again and spending some time in quiet contemplation today.
Right. Good job, Janice.
Thank you.
Platinum Janice. Great. Anyone else?
Yeah. Hi, Mary Jo. This is Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Hi. Definitely, it just shows a lot of areas that self-reflection and working on myself.
Yeah, right, isn't it? It just kind of gives you a little blip that really kind of hit home. That's why I came up with this highlight thing because I was like, man, it did it to me. So thank you that I'm not the only one that feels that I need some work. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Fred.
I appreciate everything you and Lydia do, Mary Jo. You know that.
Thanks.
I love you
so
very much.
I know. And we appreciate you and everything you do, Fred. You're great.
Mary Jo, it's Linda. It's fabulous, especially with your marketing mania starting, and a great way for me to support some of my leaders and really work on myself as well. Thank you.
Great. And thanks for the tie-in. As I was working on this book, I was like, this is perfect. For our first week in Marketing Mania, too, right?
Perfectamente.
Yeah. Anyone else? All right, everybody.